Well, good morning to everyone. I would like to express my joy at seeing each and every one of you every Sunday morning. You fill my heart, and the things that I love most is the songs that we sing and the praises that we offer up to our great God and Savior. The things that we do with this service as we come here to be pleasing to the Lord is also pleasing to one another, and I'm thankful for your presence and rejoice in that, and I always will and I always have, and I hope and pray in the future that those days will be greater in number and in spirit as we come to God seeking truth and wisdom. After teaching us who we are, and Paul taught us what we are to be doing, he goes on in this chapter 6, beginning to tell us about this great war that is out, telling us how we need to be strong in the Lord, and we need to trust in the mighty power and the might of God, that we need to put on the whole armor of God so that we are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And those are the things that Paul went on to teach us at the end of this chapter. We are in a war against powers and principalities, against the rulers of darkness of this age. We're in a war fighting against wickedness and heavenly places. We are just at a battle for our own souls, and that battle will never cease until the day in which we die in the Lord. If we are to win this war, we must take up what Paul called the whole armor of God. Every piece of that armor is critical. Every piece is important. And in this lesson today, Paul adds these final pieces of the armor as he tells us to be watchful in our prayers. When we think of today's lessons, we're going to examine verses 18 through 20, where we're going to learn the necessity of what is written in verse 18, and that is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This lesson, this piece is critical because we're calling upon the power of God. That's what prayer is all about. Calling on the Almighty God, without which we just can't win the battle. You know, in a physical war, one of the most powerful things you can do is cut off communications with your enemy. You disable your enemy. When the enemy feels cut off from the world, they feel fear. They're overpowered in their mind with hopelessness. And that's a terrible place to be. Imagine you're in the heat of the battle. The supplies are running out. Your ammo is almost all depleted. The enemy is advancing. And the radio is cut out. You can't call for additional support. You can't call for supplies. You're no ammo, no help. You're at the mercy of the oncoming, approaching enemy. And there's no way to call for help. Spiritual warfare is the same way. Without communication, without comprehensive prayer, without being able to access the Father, you're spiritually disabled. Fear in face of the enemy would begin to envelop in your mind. Hopelessness in your thought. Afraid, alone. And so without comprehensive prayer, we become as we were before we were Christians. Before we became Christians. In other words, without Christ, strangers. We are people having no hope without God in the world. That's what Paul described us in Ephesians 2 and verse 12. And that's not a place we want to go back to. Not being able to communicate or not willing to communicate with the Father leaves us alone in this world again, without hope, without wisdom, without the knowledge that He is always there. He's always there to help us and to guide us. We just need to open that communication. And you remember again, Paul said, put on the whole armor of God, not just this piece and that piece. Don't just pick up the pieces that you feel comfortable with. Put on the whole armor of God. And this, you know, that is so important because even after we've girded our waist with the truth, even after putting on the breastplate of righteousness, even after we've shod our feet with the gospel of peace, even after we put on the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, after all those things, if we leave out communication with our Father, we become soldiers in a spiritual battle that has one possible conclusion, and that is the loss of our souls. Don't underestimate the power of prayer and communication with our King. Prayer is a means of having a lifeline that we all need to survive the attacks of the devil. Listen, a life that is dependent upon God in prayer is an essential place for us to have the ability to stand firm as we've been commanded. Solomon wrote, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." When you think about what that means to those early Jews, those Israelites, and what it means to just the name of the Lord, calling upon the name of the Lord has such great power. He says that the righteous will run to it and are saved. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer puts us spiritually into that tower of protection, a place where we are safe from our enemies. That's a powerful thing. The sons of Korah wrote, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Remember Sennacherib? Turn your Bibles to 2 Kings with me, chapter 19. Remember Sennacherib and what happened there. Second Kings chapter 19. Look at verses 14. Begin at verse 14. And Hezekiah, that's the king, received a letter from the hands of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, and they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them." Verse 19, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may grow, that you are, know that you are the Lord God, you alone." Listen, when he received this message from Sennacherib and understood how powerful Sennacherib was, nation after nation after nation, destroying nations much more powerful than Judah, the first thing he did was take it before the Lord. That's what we need to do. Every day of our lives, there are going to be battles, spiritual problems, And we need to take it before the Lord. We need to lay it out before the Lord. And not just me, my personal problems, but the issues of my brothers and sisters in Christ, my family members, friends, neighbors. We need to lay everything, every concern, every thought, everything out before the Lord. Just lay it out. You know, God heard Hezekiah's prayer, didn't He? And that night, the angel of the Lord, that very night, the angel of the Lord came and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. It's sad that in our time, many Christians don't pray. And they don't pray as they should when they do. And far too often, prayer is like a last-ditch effort. It's when everything's going wrong and I've done everything that I can do and nothing's working, I'm going to turn to God. We don't have to do that. We don't have to wait, nor should we wait, until things get really desperate. Prayer is our lifeline for comfort. Prayer is our lifeline for help. Prayer is a time in which, a way in which we can receive strength from God to stand against all the spiritual forces against us. Paul establishes for us the need for comprehensive prayer. Comprehensive meaning that it leaves nothing out. You know, and he talks about praying in four areas. And I call them the four alls. You know, the first one is always. Praying always. And I break that word down in your hearing. Praying always. In other words, for everything. You know, Jesus is our greatest example of prayer. Having a prayer life like Jesus is an amazing thing. How many times did Jesus pray in the Bible? You know, up on the screen here are just an example. It's not an exhaustive list. I couldn't get the print to fit there where you'd actually be able to see any of that. And I don't expect you're going to be able to see much of that. But the point is, Jesus prayed a lot. Think of Jesus' prayers. He prayed alone. He prayed in public. He prayed before meals. He prayed before important decisions. He prayed before healing people. Sometimes he prayed after healing people. He prayed that the Father's will would be done, among other things. Jesus taught us the importance of prayer. If you take all the places that show Jesus praying, asking, you know, you would have a perfect template for the type of prayer we should have. Praying always for all things. In John 17, the recorded prayer of Jesus, right? He prayed for himself. He prayed for his disciples. And he prayed for all of you and for me. His prayer was always. He prayed for those things. In the Garden of Gethsemane, those three times that Jesus prayed before he was taken and tried and before he was cruelly beaten and scourged and before he hit the cross. And then on the cross, Jesus prayed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Into thy hands in his dying breath, I commend my spirit. And Jesus is ever making intercession for us on our behalf. Think of that. How powerful is that? With the Lord as our great example, when should we pray? The Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. And we understand that doesn't mean that you get up in the morning and you begin praying and you don't stop praying till you lay your head down at night. Paul said, pray without ceasing. In Acts 2:42, that's exactly what the disciples did. Early Christians devoted themselves to continued prayer. Right? That was Paul. Constantly instructed believers in his letters. They need to continue in prayer. Romans chapter 12 and at verse 12, continue steadfastly in prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer. The apostle Paul himself is the one that I pray without ceasing. I pray daily. I pray for you without ceasing. Christians, our prayer life needs to be a lifestyle. We don't use prayer as a last-ditch effort. We don't use prayer only when we feel like we're overwhelmed. You don't call out to God just before the crash. It needs to be a lifestyle. Not only in the moments of trial. Not a quick or rushed conversation with God. Being in regular thoughts with our words rising up to the throne of God throughout the day, whenever you have opportunity. We're fighting, remember, spiritual forces that never rest. They don't rest. They don't sleep. And therefore, we need to talk to our King, the one who provides us the ammo, the one who provides us the protection, the one who gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding, the one who quiets our souls. We need to talk to Him. And I would guess in my own life, even more than I do, we need to talk to the King always. Praying for God's direction, for God's will to be done at all times. And parents, right? Even grandparents. How unhappy would we be if our children only talked to us when they wanted something? I mean, I know that that actually does happen a lot. But if they never talk to you about their day, they never talk to you about what happened, and sometimes you got to pry it out of them. Well, how did school go today? What did you learn? You know, what was happening when you were with your friends and so on. But how would it be if they just would never talk to you except, I need something? That leads to a dysfunctional family relationship. And spiritually, that's how it would go. Hours, days, sometimes weeks. And we don't talk to the Father. How tragic that would be. That's a problem. Our Father's opened that line of communication through His Son, our Lord, for our ability to overcome the spiritual battle. And listen, God hears our prayers. There's no question about it. Jesus said that, you know, if you pray, you can go to a closet and you can pray in the closet. Nobody else hears but you and God. God even knows your thoughts before you think them. God hears our prayers and He knows what kind of strengths we need and what we lack. Even when things are going well, we should delight in the presence of God through prayer. The second thing is that the Apostle Paul, he says, pray with all prayer and supplication. All prayer and supplication. A prayer and supplication is a request or a petition that we make to God. You know, James chapter 5, verse 16, we're really familiar with that. James says, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what James said. Pray, he said. Fervent prayer. The prayer of the righteous. Just think how powerful your prayer is. Your prayer can help your own healing. It can help the healing of the brethren. It can help healing spiritually of other people. It's just a powerful prayer. Peter says that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He hears the prayers of the righteous. His ears are open to our prayers. And the point is very simple. God receives all the prayers. And so don't hold back. Make your requests be known to God. In 1 John chapter 5 and 14, John writes that this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. In the midst of the battle, when things are really hard, He hears you. In the times when you're rejoicing and being thankful for the church and for the members of the body and for family and friends, He hears you. And the times when your soul rejoices just because of the knowledge of your salvation and you just need to talk to God about that, He hears you. So, beloved brothers and sisters, now is the time to harness the power of prayer. And just like Jesus, our Lord, we have to pray all kinds of prayers. Prayer of thanksgiving for God providing our needs. Prayer for strength. Prayer, even just to talk to God about everything that's going on in our lives. And listen, there is nothing that's uninteresting to the Lord. You know, it's not like when you talk to somebody and you say, listen, I got this problem, and they're just like half listening or they can't wait till you stop talking. There is nothing that you have to say that is not interesting to the Lord. There is nothing that God does not want to hear from you. And this is an amazing thing. From Moses to Abraham to Hezekiah here and to Paul and to John, even Jesus, Paul praying to God and God responding to them all. So don't be shy with God. Don't be shy. Pray with all prayers and with all requests. And understand this, there is nothing too small and there's nothing too large for the hands of God. Let me say that, there is nothing too small and there's nothing too large for the hand of God. Because God's bigger. That's all there is. Next, the third point, Paul says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. There's that word all again. Why do we need to be watchful with all perseverance in prayer? Because that keeps us alert. Always remember, we're in a spiritual battle. It never ends. You don't see tanks coming down the road. You don't see soldiers with weapons. It's nothing like that. The enemy is the rulers of darkness, the unseen things, against spiritual hosts and wickedness. Spiritual meaning they're not physical. There's no warning sirens ever going to be sounded. We're on a spiritual battlefield. Think of that. And the enemy will come at you from every single direction without fail. Inexhaustible. And so we need to keep constant watch over our spiritual lives and the lives of our brethren, never letting down our defenses. You know, you turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And I just look at, you know, think about verse 1. Jesus here, it says, spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And we know what that parable was. There was a widow. She needed help. She went to the judge and tried to get justice, and he didn't want to hear a word she had to say. So she just kept coming and she kept coming and she kept coming, crying out day and night. And he gave in. He gave in. And the same thing is with God. It isn't that he doesn't want to hear or he doesn't want to help. He does want to hear and he does want to help. And he's willing to listen day and night. When we stop being diligent, when we stop being dedicated, when we stop praying always, when we become weary of the job or the task, that's when we lose heart. And we will become weakened and miss the attacks of the devil. They'll just come right at us. You know, this morning we studied in the book of Isaiah, chapter 17, and in chapter 17, verse 10, why did they have problems? He tells us, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation, and you have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold. Therefore, you will plant pleasant plants and set foreign seedlings. In the day, you will make your plant to grow, and in the morning, you will make your seed to flourish, but the harvest will be a heap of ruin. In the day of grief and desperate sorrow. That's what happens when we stop praying. When we stop turning to the Lord. When we forget the God of our salvation. You know, Jude commands, he says, then he spoke of, I'm sorry, that's Jesus. Jude demands, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's what Jude's telling us. Paul, Jesus, James, Jude, they want us to pray always. Be alert. Pay attention. Look out for false teachers, look out for things that are unholy or unrighteous in our lives and eliminate them. Like the dross in silver, we burn it all out and throw away the dross and keep what is precious. We must do that daily. It's something that should not be an occasional thing, but a lifestyle. And we do that so that we don't lose heart, so that we don't forget the God of our salvation. And listen, we live in a society, and listen, we live in a society that promotes busyness. You understand me, right? We live in a society that promotes self-destructive addiction to faster, faster living. I want it now. Do it now. Instant gratification. Fast food. And I think that somehow people relate prayer to a microwave. Right? Put it in there, 10 seconds, I'm done, run off. You know, we have this fast-paced life where just everything around us seems to be so important that we don't have time necessarily to stop and pray without ceasing. But even the modern world is very aware of the problems that this has created. They know that the fast-paced is lifestyle is unsustainable. This is what just one site of hundreds that I've seen. The experts say maybe the biggest cost we've encountered already is the harm to human relationships instead of enhancing close bonds. Technology has facilitated avoidance of direct person-to-person contact, which takes too much time. We maintain an illusion that we're connected more closely than ever before by the number of Facebook likes we accumulate, but it's all fast. Now, this instant, everything is impulse. Our sense of connection exists in the action, not an accumulated depending upon experience. That's what's happening in our world, and it's happening in the church, and it must not happen in the church. It must not happen between us and God. We can't have a life that is filled with all these things so much so that God becomes second, third, fourth, and fifth in our life. And the same is true. If every time I pray, I expect an answer given right now, God, instant. I need it now, otherwise I'm just going to be discouraged. Prayer isn't like a microwave. You don't pray, push a button, and expect an immediate answer from God. It's not popcorn. And listen, if we expect that kind of a thing, then we lose heart. We think that God's not answering. But God answers in His own time. So keep alert, keep persistent in prayer. That will help you overcome. That will help you not be discouraged. It will strengthen you in times of hardship and suffering. And the final point, pray for all members of the Lord's church, that should say. You remember James 5, that supplication for all the saints means that we make requests to God for one another. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's a wonderful, comforting thought to know that believers are praying for me. When I hear, or when I get a card or a letter, or somebody, I know somebody's thinking about me or whatever, even just day to day, it is a wonderful, comforting thing. And I think that's true with all of you. We have a prayer list in our bulletin. Use it. Let people know you're praying for them. God knows. Let them know. Persevere in praying for one another. We have people that are under attack by the devil, and we must be calling on God on their behalf. And listen to what that means. We need to communicate with one another. I don't know to pray for you if you don't tell me. Right? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. As for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You hear what Paul's saying? Pray for me. The apostle, the ambassador for Christ, pray for me? Really? We need your prayers, Paul. No, he is a man. This mighty apostle, this ambassador for Christ, he asks the saints to pray for him so that he would have utterance, that he may open his mouth boldly. He's just a man. And remember that he was imprisoned at this time when he asked the Christians to pray for him. And I also want to note, it wasn't in the scripture reading, but verse 21, he says, but that you also may know my affairs. Let me read that again. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Why would he say that? Because they cared. I want to know how you're doing, Paul. Let us know. And he's gonna send Tychicus a messenger so that they'll understand. He'll make all things known to you. One of the problems we might have as a church is that we come on Sunday and we don't see another person or talk to another person. We don't fellowship. We don't do anything until the following Sunday. How am I supposed to know about you? How are you going to know about me? On Sunday morning, we read prayer requests. There's a lot more going on in our lives than that one or two prayer requests on Sunday. Don't hide your needs from one another. Don't hide your concerns from one another. Don't hide your troubles from one another. We must be willing to open our hearts, open our lives to each other, and let each other know the problems that we have. Let each other know the concerns that we have. Let each other know the battles that we're facing. So that's the four alls that Paul gives us. Paul gives us those four alls as a piece of the armor to keep us protected, always with all prayer, all perseverance, for all the saints, and for everything that we need in life, prayer. So, prayer is a discipline. It's something we must develop. Make every day of your life a day of prayer, always without ceasing, to the Father in heaven. And about those things in your life that you need. Make every time of prayer, brethren, sisters, brothers. Remember that there's something wrong with children who don't speak to their fathers and their mothers. There's something wrong with that family relationship. God is inviting you as His beloved to have a conversation with Him. The Almighty God, the Sovereign God of the universe, is saying, come to Me. Lay all your burdens upon My shoulders. That's what Jesus said. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls. The invitation to come to Jesus and obey Him in baptism to be added to the church is yours today. And the other invitation also is to come forward and express your needs for repentance or for prayer. The church is here to help. Whatever you need, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.